Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
And welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 17, 2017. Turmoil. Most of us do not realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. And you know, I get a lot of phone calls that are just that. It'll hit the answering machine, and then there's just silence. You have to leave your phone number if you want me to call you back. So please leave your phone number and say it slowly with your name. Anyway, the phone number, of course, I'm sorry for laughing, is 620-878-4682. And in emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all of this at our ministry hub, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Remember, prayer requests can often be sent by United States Postal Service, an email with your return address and or your and your phone number to call you back. The request will be taken to Wichita Mission Church and one with all prayed over and sent back to you at your request. Now remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, on YouTube Live right now, on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. Airtime is not free. Now, on another note, I want to thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like the city of Zagreb, Croatia, I don't know how to pronounce it. Anyway, Vienna, Australia, Nicaragua, Guanajuato, Mexico, let's just do that, Madrid, Spain, Oslo, Norway, and of course cities in the good old USA such as Mesa, Arizona, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Seattle, Washington, Plano, Texas, Town and Country, Florida, and of course Washington, D.C., which is coming up right behind Wichita, Kansas, as our largest group of listeners, at least when they go to podcast later tonight. Yes. Wichita, Kansas still remains the largest group of listeners to our programs when they go to podcast. Anyway, let's move right along. Let's have a prayer, and I can tell it's time for that. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, nor my guest will, Father. But please give everybody out there ears and ears to hear the truth. And Father, I pray that this storm that's above us goes over us, both the one in Washington and the physical one that's outside my door. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. And I'll make a clarification of that before I go any further and introduce our guests. We are under a tornado warning, and we're about 60 miles from Wichita, and Wichita is under the same warning, and we just had a big part of it passed through, and it just got quiet outside. So if I disappear off here, my producer, Frank, will come on and talk to you all. So anyway, today's guest is Leo Holman. He joins us to talk about the news media blackout over Seth Rich revelations. Well, when I extended him this invitation, Trump had not, did the impeachment thing with him, and so we probably got a lot to talk about. Anyway, Seth Conrad Rich was fatally shot July 10, 2016 in the Bloomingdale neighborhood of Washington, D.C. He was a 27-year-old employee of the Democrat Democratic National Committee. At the time of his death, the death was ruled as a robbery, but nothing was taken. Many have speculated that he was a real email leaker to WikiLeaks and not the Russians. So, now, months later, a private eye has been looking into things, and he thinks he very well has been, that he was talking with WikiLeaks around the time of his murder. Problem is, there's a missing laptop. Anyway, that would put a huge damper on the so-called Russian theory. Now, just days later, we find that a special prosecutor has been appointed to look into the Russian-Trump connection. Well, our guest tonight, Leo, has a great new book entitled Stealth Invasion, Muslim Conquest Through Immigration and Resettlement Jihad. This is a great book. If you want to know what's going on in this country with and the world, you need to read this book. Anyway, Leo is a veteran journalist and news editor for online news giant WorldNet Daily with particular focus on immigration and Islam. Prior to joining WorldNet Daily, he worked for more than two decades as a newspaper reporter and editor in the suburban Atlanta and Charlotte, Raleigh, North Carolina. Leo wrote an article, WorldNet Daily, on which caught my eye, and so I invited him on to speak about this and see where we go. Anyway, welcome now. Leo, are you there with me, Leo?
I am. Glad to be here with you today, Pastor Dan, as always.
Well, amen. I'm so glad to have you on, but boy, things sure seems to just move so at lightning pace anymore, doesn't it?
Yeah, you talk about a physical tornado there in, where'd you say, you're near Wichita, Kansas?
Yeah, I'm near, well, I'm 60 miles. I'm in a place called Florence, Kansas. It's in the Flint Hills, but yeah, there's a tornado.
Well, hang on to your hat, brother, but it looks like we have a spiritual tornado hovering over Washington, D.C. as we speak. And I'm telling you what, I have never seen such battles going on in the spiritual world and being manifest in the physical as I am seeing recently in Washington, D.C. Have you?
Not at all. And the amazing thing about it is that there, when you look at all the garbage that's, and I say garbage that they're arguing over and everything, I don't see any facts. You know what I'm saying, brother?
I think I know exactly the what you're thinking along those lines, Dan, because we've got two cases here that are related in many ways. You talked about the Comey situation in which, you know, okay, he was fired, what, a week or so ago by President Trump. Then he comes out a week later and says that he has a memo in which involving a conversation that he had with President Trump in which the president indicated that Comey, the FBI director, might want to back off of the investigation into one of Trump's advisors at the time, which was Mike Flynn. And he never, but what's interesting is there, like you said, there's no proof there, but this is what the Democrats are using to hint at impeachment. They've now hired a special counsel prosecutor to look into it, and that is Robert Mueller, a former FBI chief himself. And we can talk about Mr. Mueller a little bit in a little bit, but first let's look at this so-called memo. All it is Comey's notes to himself. Now, when you hear memo, you think memorandum, right? Some sort of official communication from one high-level exec, perhaps, to another or something like that. But this was just written notes to himself. We don't know if it was even during the conversation, after the conversation. We don't know exactly what it says. But to me, Mr. Comey is already lacking in credibility the way he handled himself during the investigation of Hillary Clinton.
Right.
So why should we believe anything in notes to himself before or after some supposed conversation he had with the president? Is this the basis for putting the president on trial? I mean,
no.
This is insane. And I think what we have going on before our eyes in Washington, D.C. right now is a coup d'etat in process. I really do, and it's being carried out by some people call it the shadow government. I've heard it called the deep state, but whatever it is, it's people in high places who are snickering and whispering in each other's ears, not coming out in public and saying anything, but it's this conspiracy of people in high places to take down a duly elected president. It cannot be seen or described in any other way based on the facts that we have so far. Now, if there are facts that we don't know of, then maybe that changes the narrative. But right now, based on what we know, that is the best assumption I think we can go on.
Okay, a couple of comments. First comment, I absolutely agree with you. And you can, part of this is you can tell by looking at even the Republicans. You know, they just announced a while ago, I saw it on a Drudge Report, that they hadn't even, while they said that the House said they repealed Obamacare, they haven't even sent it to the Senate yet. Now, what kind of underhanded it is that? They are trying, it looks like, to stop his agenda, are they not?
I think you're absolutely right, and that's part of this coup attempt that I think is in process, Dan. They are going. They know that they have 100% of the Democrats already on board, and so now they're trying, I think, to peel off like one Republican at a time. And we heard Justin Amash come out, I think it was yesterday, he's a congressman from Michigan, Republican, say that if it's true about this Comey memo or whatever, you know, that seems like an impeachable offense. So there's one. Okay, who's next? If we can peel a few of them off one at a time among the Republicans, I think the Democrats are thinking then we can go for this impeachment.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, you can already count McCain in with them, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, the House would have to go first, I believe, in any impeachment, and then it would move to the Senate. But yes, you know, who knows how many others are out there. Justin Amash is supposedly a very conservative member of the House Freedom Caucus. If you can get him, you know, there's no telling who else you can get.
Right, absolutely. I've never seen anything like this before. And back to the memo a minute. You know, right now, we're having a conversation, and I have a tablet in front of me. I write on this tablet so that, you know, I can keep notes while we're talking or maybe go back and brush up on it. Well, it's not an official document, and you couldn't tell for nothing, you know, what my scribbles are about. And let alone let it be an official document, because I could go to it. It's just my handwriting. I could add to it anytime I chose, could I not?
Exactly. And you've got the Washington Post and New York Times putting out these stories based on anonymous sources just every day. We've been pummeled by a new one and just piling, trying to manufacture scandals where scandals do not exist. And this whole thing is supposed to be about the Russians influencing the 2016 presidential election. How absurd is that? Governments try to influence elections of other governments all over the world every day. Barack Obama was caught trying to influence the election of Israel last year, as you'll recall. He did the same thing in several other countries. And so for the Democrats to say this, I mean, what if it's true? What if Russia was trying to influence our election? That doesn't mean that somehow President Trump was in on it or that he was colluding with the Russians. That is what you would have to prove to have any sort of impeachable offense. So, you know, barring some bombshell evidence that we don't know about that's sitting out there somewhere that the leaders of this coup, as I call it, do know about, mm-hmm. I don't see where this is going to go anywhere. Do you?
No, I don't. Actually, and from what I understand about Mueller, you know, we look over on the left and we saw that Nancy Pelosi, she kind of cringed when they announced that it would be Mueller. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, like, you know, I don't know if what's the new guy on Fox. I just can't think of his name offhand. But he was reporting the same thing. He said, well, while the left is now happy about, you know, because a special prosecutor, I don't think they should be really happy about who they got. So what kind of guy is Mueller?
Yeah, Mr. Mueller, if you look at the Judicial Watch report that came out today, Judicial Watch is a very reputable government watchdog agency that collects public documents and oftentimes has to sue to get the documents through the Freedom of Information Act. And that's what they did a couple of, I think it was 2013 and again in 2015, they got documents from the Justice Department that showed that Mueller was the FBI chief in charge when all references deemed offensive to Islam were cleansed from FBI training manuals nationwide.
Really?
And so this happened after Mueller met with various Islamic groups in the U.S., namely Council on American Islamic Relations and others, which are known Muslim Brotherhood front groups with ties to terrorism. Their members have several of their members have been convicted and or charged with terroristic related crimes. And so this is a group that's very shadowy, and they come into the FBI and demand changes in their training manuals, and Mr. Mueller accommodates them? What kind of a man, what kind of a man with integrity would do such a thing?
Not, he couldn't have much integrity. There's the point. So if he has thrown in with them, then we could, what can we expect out of him?
I think exactly. You just nailed it. If he has thrown in with the CARE and ISNA and these type of groups, which we know were in bed with the Obama administration and had their operatives embedded throughout the Justice Department, Homeland Security, and all these government agencies, that tells us who Mueller is siding with, the Democrats and the Obama types who are in the deep state, embedded in the deep state. And so I don't look for good things to come out of this investigation.
No.
Do you?
I don't either. And I think a lot will depend on who is really for Trump or not. If we, the people that are really for Trump stand up and are outspoken more than what they are now,
we
may have a chance.
That is the other whole question you raise, very poignant question there, Pastor Dan, that I've been starting to think about myself. Let's say, what if Mueller comes out and says, I have evidence, and he doesn't tell us what it is, but evidence to indict the president and put him on trial. What is that going to do, not only to the American psyche, but on the ground among real Americans who 85 million or so of whom voted for President Trump and don't see any evidence laid out on the table of any crime that he committed? You know, they say he shared classified. This is another one of these New York Times, Washington Post stories. He shared evidence with the Russians. He shared classified information with the Russian diplomats. Well, he has every right to do that. It was classified information. If it was classified, we don't know. It's all hearsay. But let's say it was. It had to do with ISIS and how to clean out the terrorist problem in Syria and Iraq. Now, what president hasn't discussed those sorts of things with foreign leaders before? I mean, this is just, you know, presidential duties 101. His number one duty is to protect the American public, and if that involves sharing information with the Russians, who are also fighting terrorists in Syria,
right,
then is he supposed to not do that? Where's the crime? There is no crime there, no statute broken, no constitutional principle broken. As long as the information was, targeting our enemy, a common enemy in that region of the world, it would be 100% acceptable, and not only that, it would be expected.
the president has the ultimate right to declassify information anyway.
Exactly, and President Obama did that on occasion after occasion after occasion. And that's another thing that we could talk about, you know.
Let me throw something out here real quick. Yeah. I just want to throw this across because it'll take just a second to do it. Not all Democrats are completely bad. I want to give this quote from former Representative Dennis Kinnicky, I think is how it's pronounced. He's Democrat Ohio. He said that Americans must put party politics aside and acknowledge that the federal government is under attack from within. The deep state within the bureaucracy is trying to destroy Donald Trump's presidency. He said that damaging leaks against President Trump is a clear and present danger to the American way of life. Now, here's a guy that's a Democrat that is seeing it and saying it. Back to you.
Is this Dennis Kucinich?
Yeah, it's Kucinich.
Kucinich, yes. Right. I agree with him 100%. I believe that many of these people who were installed by the Obama administration are still there at their desks, on their jobs, embedded in these agencies, and they are working to topple this government that was duly elected by the American people. They cannot stand what it is exactly about Trump that they cannot deal with. I'm still searching for that, because actually since he's been in office, I haven't seen him fulfill many of his promises. Have you?
Well, actually, he did a lot to damage their agenda with putting him in place, who he did in to be ahead of the schools. That was a big thing. They don't want to see the economy go up because that defeats what they are trying to do, is bring America down to the level of, like, say, Mexico, so it can be all one country. They do not want to see a strong military. The military just got bigly funded, and there are several other things. So, yes, actually, with the...
But I haven't seen them do the big things yet. There's no funding for the wall.
But there's no
stoppage in the influx of refugees. We haven't moved the embassy to Jerusalem. We haven't declared the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization. We haven't cut in any substantial way our support of the United Nations. We haven't stopped the DACA amnesty program that was unconstitutional executive orders from President Obama.
Okay.
We're
going
to
have to stop right
now.
We got to go to break. And you are right. Those things haven't came through yet, but that's what they want to stop. But anyway, we'll be back in 3 minutes with more. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, I'm just going to go through this real quickly. Pray about a donation to help the Wichita Mission Church, where we help the homeless and poor. Of course, the homeless are poor, but also we get poor people from all over the city that come in looking for miracle prayers, food, clothing, all sorts of things. And we get ready in June. Coming up shortly, we'll start our 18th year. And we are, folks, we all, even including you, are the last hope for so many. Folks, we're all responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers keepers. All donations to Messiah's Branch Mission Church helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime, as that's what you're listening to, and we sell nothing, and so we're on the air because of the donations that you give. Now, you can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. And now I'm really glad to bring back on Leo Holman with me, because we are talking about a very highly important subject. Leo, are you there?
I am.
Let me open by asking you a question or make a comment, and because as we went out, I want to make sure that I'm clear. The things that you were bringing up just before that we went out, I agree with you 100%. I haven't seen those things done yet. I do believe that Trump has the will to do them, but I don't believe that Congress does. It's why Congress does, and the powers that be other than Trump want him to get those things passed. I do believe by the executive orders that he has signed that they saw in that he was trying to do what he promised to do. Now, back to you.
Some of the things he has tried, some of the things he has not, like the Muslim Brotherhood Terrorist Designation Act and moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. From what I read in the Washington Times, the King of Jordan and officials within the U.S. State Department have talked him out of declaring the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization. And now we're hearing that he may be moving the embassy to Jerusalem contingent upon brokering a two-state solution peace deal between the Israelis and the Palestinians. So suddenly now there's a caveat to that, and an unbiblical one at that. So we don't need to give blanket support to everything Trump does. But what I am saying is that he is a duly elected president. He has not done anything illegal that we know of. And he's being railroaded by this deep state shadow government, whatever you want to call it, without even being given much of a fair chance to get his agenda through. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. He's been in there, about 115 days, he needs time, and he needs a legitimate shot, like every other president, to get his agenda through. And that's why I feel the way I do. And then we have the flip side of the coin, talking about, Russian influence of election. It wasn't the Russians. We have evidence now that it was this young man that we talked about at the top of your show, Seth Rich, who was leaking 44,000 emails from the DNC to WikiLeaks. And that is where the information was coming from, it appears, not from any hacking or anything like that from the Russians. But the story has become a non-story for the media, Dan. This bombshell report that was broken by a Fox affiliate in Washington, D.C. earlier this week about Seth Rich's leaking of the 44,000 emails to the DNC, it was completely ignored by the mainstream media, completely ignored. There was nothing in CNN, ABC, and CBS, Washington Times, Washington Post or New York Times. Nothing. It was a media blackout. At the same time, they're peddling this fake news about Comey leaking, with a leaked memo and this, that, and the other. Just one false report after another. Flimsy report at best, based on anonymous sources that they don't tell us where they're getting their information. But when they do write anything about Seth Rich, it's called a conspiracy theory. The NBC was the one mainstream network that did publish a story about Seth Rich, and they framed the entire story as, it's just more conspiracy theories by right-wing fanatics. So what we have is a situation, very dangerous, where anything that does not line up with the narrative that these liberal media types want to peddle is called a conspiracy theory. Meanwhile, all of their stories, their narrative, which is a legitimate conspiracy theory, they have no facts or proof of any of it so far. That is presented as factual, good journalism that we all need to pay attention to the point of hiring a special prosecutor.
Well, now, I have a question.
Something is wrong with that picture there.
There's something dramatically wrong with it, and I have a question for you. Let's suppose, and I trust your opinion very highly, brother, let's suppose that they succeed in doing this against Trump, and there's no real legitimate thing, but apparently they don't need anything legitimate. If they succeed, where does that put America? Are we lost?
See, that's the big question that I'm beginning to play around with in my mind. I don't think that 85 million Trump supporters are just going to lay down and accept that. Do you?
No, not at all. And we have to remember that a bunch of those 85 million Trump supporters have been out buying guns all through the Obama administration, were they not?
Yeah, I think a lot of them, from what I've been reading, were stocking up. Right. So, you know, if it were to come to a civil war, I guess it would depend on whose side the government is. I just can't see this playing out in such a way that, it, like I said, unless there is a bombshell, rock-solid type of evidence that they can put on the table for all of America to see, I don't see even half of those 85 million accepting this. So let's say there's 50 million people who are armed and refusing to accept what they feel is a heist of the presidency and the White House by unelected bureaucrats. I just don't see that happening without a large portion of these 50 or so million armed people saying, we got to do something.
Yeah.
And I hope it never comes to that.
Well, of course I don't want it to come to that, but you can tell from the hatred and there's families that they made studies, families that have been split up over the election, you know. There has never
right.
been such a divide in America
right.
since the Civil War, I don't think.
I really think we're heading for something bad. Whether it would ever be on the scale of the Civil War, I'm not a prophet and I cannot say, but I do believe that there's dark forces ahead, dark clouds ahead, that we're going to have to try to navigate through, and we can only pray that we can navigate peacefully through this whole thing, Dan.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me say this. You know, when Donald Trump was elected, you know, now they call our program a Watchmen-type program. And I know people that book people, our kinds of programs across the nation. I'm in contact with other people like the Prophecy Club and people that do these kind of programs and people that sell prepper things. There was a huge drop right after the election in listening audiences to prepper type programs or Watchmen programs. There was a huge drop in gun buying and supplies and so on and so forth. It looked like that community went, you know, said, well, you know, everything's fine now. And that in itself scares me.
Yeah, well, I kind of warned about that, right. I'm sort of a watchman of the watchmen. It's how I kind of see myself. And, you know, I did fear that a lot of the watchmen would say, you know, we don't need to be looking quite as carefully anymore because we got our man in the White House and he's going to fix everything. I warned them against that. Even if Trump was 100% committed to his agenda, which we never were quite sure about, but even if he is, I warned that it was going to be a humongous uphill struggle, slogging daily through the mud of this deep state, and that he might just get buried by it if he doesn't have a lot of prayer support and a lot of help. And so far, I haven't really seen enough help.
No.
And so we need to keep praying. We need to keep praying.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I'm hoping to encourage on my program, because before we came to the election, you know, I told them we have a battle between good and evil. If Hillary gets in, you know, it's just kind of all over for a Christian country. And so I believe a lot of people prayed. I believe, actually, in fact, that, you know, there was a... The other side was shocked that Hillary wasn't, that she didn't win, because Absolutely. They thought the deck was so stacked against Trump. I mean, look, they admitted to rigging the Democratic primary, and there was, they didn't do anything about it.
I know.
That's just insane. But there's the point. I believe that, like with the preppers and the people I say and back off, you know, we need to encourage the Christian community to keep praying and keep standing behind Trump. There is and that is my point. The same thing that you just said.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't really know where it goes from here, Dan, but I do feel like we're wading into some of that really mucky, miry, dirty, ugly stuff. And if we're going to come out on the other side, it's really going to take the hand of God. And, you know, so we need to be on before God, really on our knees, a little bit extra time every day, I would assume, if we're going to get through this. But, you know, the corruption, just the evil corruption in Washington is just far, far worse, I think, than the average American really realizes. When you basically have evil being called good and good evil. I mean, that's the bottom line. And didn't Jesus warn about that in the end days?
Yeah, absolutely. Perilous times would come, and it would be when they call good evil and you know, vice versa. But let me ask you this. The man that is the, what is this, the assistant or deputy attorney general that appointed Mueller, who is he? Do you know anything about him?
Rod Rothstein, I believe, is his name. He was appointed by Trump. He's not an Obama holdover. He's 52 years old, Harvard educated. I don't really know a whole lot about him other than that. I looked him up briefly today just to see if he was an Obama holdover because, you know, I have to say that confuses me as well. You know, Trump, through his tweets this morning, seems to make it sound like he was against the naming of the special prosecutor. You know, so but somebody in his administration must have thought that it was a good idea to perhaps put some of these unfounded charges to rest, to prove them that there's proven them false, that there's no. You know, smoking gun out there, so to speak.
Well, let me run this
by naming Mueller, though, I just don't trust that that's going to be what happens. If it had been somebody else, perhaps I could have gone along with that theory that, you know, name a special outside independent prosecutor who can look into this, who's above political reproach and can't be accused of playing politics. But when it was Mueller, I just cringed. I cringed in my spirit.
Right. Amen. I trust you. Let me put this across to you because I want your opinion on this. Now, we discovered from the a few years ago from the NSA that they record absolutely everything, you know, and you've even hearing people call from Congress saying, well, was they in fact doing it to me? Are they recording me? The same way we're hearing reports now that Scalia thought that he was being watched. So let's go with this. If they have that kind of power and that kind of information, information is power, and could they have, who are they bribing? Is anybody safe? I mean, if they have, maybe the person that's in office is clean, but maybe their daughter or sister or somebody else isn't, and they simply tell them, well, okay, you got to tell the special prosecutor, I'm not saying that the deputy attorney general did this, but maybe they threatened him with some information that, hey, you don't want this released, so you better appoint a special prosecutor.
Be the case in any number of instances and could actually explain a lot as to why Congress never does anything of any value to get the Trump agenda into practice, into actual legislation. Who knows if that is the case? I don't. But if what you're saying is true, that the NSA, the deep state, has compromising information on almost every politician up there, and it could be legitimate compromising information, or it could even be trumped up. You know, we've seen that before with conservative politicians who have had their careers destroyed through false charges. They end up getting exonerated 2 or 3 years later through the court system, but then you never hear. It's too late by that point to resurrect your career. I mean, look at Bob McDonald, the former governor of Virginia, is a good example of that. You know, they had all sorts of corruption charges against the man. It took 2 years or more to go through the courts, and they completely exonerated him. But, you know, he's been destroyed. It's too late now to resurrect yourself. So even if you are clean, is what I'm saying, you could be threatened, blackmailed with different fake facts.
Right. Well, and if not you, you know, I'm talking about, you know, extended family. You can have a perfectly clean politician, but he loves his, you know, nieces, nephews, anything. And that's just spooky stuff, you know. That's spooky stuff. They shouldn't have that kind of information.
That's dangerous to our democracy, and I think that's why a lot of civil liberty activists, when the Snowden revelations came out, a couple of years back, were just horrified because they said, you know, this is not healthy for democracy. This is going to come back to bite us at some point. If the NSA is snooping, snitching, listening in on private conversations, reading emails, and all of this sort of thing, it's too much trust to give to any government agency, even if what's at stake is, you know, terrorist attacks.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Way too much trust. And I am like you. Again, let's go back to that. I do believe that this is a coup going on to stop the president. But I don't, the only thing that we can do about it is to be diligent, try to put across the truth as best we can, and pray. But I don't know what else to think about it.
I agree 100%. We have to stay engaged. We have to. I know it gets frustrating, and it gets it'll really make you weary sometimes, you know. And you do need a break from it. I'm not saying you don't. I wouldn't advise anyone to just sit in front of Fox News and the internet, you know, 24/7 and read about this stuff. It'll make you crazy. But by the same token, you can't just bow out and say, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm just not going to read or listen or watch on any of this because I just can't handle it. A lot of Americans are doing that. And, you know, that is just as dangerous, not only for your own freedom and safety, but for the future of the republic.
Well, I think that's part of, you hit something on the head. Let's go with this. You know, the average American, and we're talking about a lot of those people that voted for Trump, you know, they go to work, the hardworking people,
right.
They go to work, they come home, they click on the TV, and maybe for 30 minutes or something, they might watch the local news, you know, and then turn to football or something else because they have a certain trust in the American way of life. If they do get the wrong politician, well, next election, it'll rectify itself because it always did. So do you think that's, you know, kind of what you're talking about?
I think you just nailed it. The good people are the ones who are salt of the earth, hardworking, patriotic Americans who don't have a lot of time to sit and be activists, political activists, at the state, local, and national level. But the forces of evil, there's so much money flowing to that side from the likes of George Soros and Gates and Rockefeller Foundation, Ford Foundation, Tides Foundation. The list goes on and on about these big money foundations and nonprofits who can hire activists to be at the right place at the right time to engage and agitate and shut down legitimate political debate even. I'm hearing stories, Dan, about even small town town hall meetings being disrupted by these radical college students, radical Marxist, leftist, communists, coming in and intimidating in a lot of cases, older Americans who showed up for just to hear a presentation on refugee resettlement, and they're being intimidated, and Southern Poverty Law Center and the local media work together. Southern Poverty Law Center will brand certain groups who want to present truth about refugee resettlement, immigration, and other issues as haters. And then the local, when that group comes to do a presentation in a small town, the local newspaper will pick up on it and say, oh my God, this is a group that's on the Southern Poverty Law Center hate group list. These are horrible people. And when, you know, and these are actually good people just trying to present the other side of the factual story that Americans aren't getting on at the dark side of refugee resettlement and illegal immigration and all the rest. But they're being branded as Islamophobic, bigoted, racist. And it really is sad what's going on in this country, because we're losing our freedom of speech, our freedom of assembly even. Most of these groups who make presentations like this are now having to have private ticketed events, whereas before you might just have it at the local library and invite the public. Now you've got to have it in a hotel and have a ticketed event and make it a private event, because otherwise you're going to be slammed with these radical leftist anarchists.
And we do know that, and we do know that they're being funded, because, you know, after Ferguson, Missouri, that's when I first really got to see the proof. Well, Ferguson, Missouri, they were supposed to be paid so much a month for doing the rioting or protesting down there, and they didn't get paid quick enough, so the protesters protested the place they were supposed to pay them, and they asked them, what are you protesting about? Well, we didn't get paid for Ferguson.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the irony of it, but the truth is the truth, and that's what that's being, you know, across the nation, is it not?
Absolutely, and it's happening in smaller and smaller towns. It happened last week in Alma, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And a group called Secure Michigan, which is an anti-Sharia group that is concerned about the Islamization of communities in Michigan, which we know it is happening rapidly in southern and especially southeastern Michigan and several of the counties. Well, this group tried to have a PowerPoint presentation at the local library, and students from Alma College, tiny little college, showed up and started heckling and making life miserable for the presenter, and he finally lost his temper and told one of them to shut up, and then the local newspaper did a hatchet job story on him. I mean, he admits he shouldn't have said that, but these people were just heckling and asking the same vicious, accusatory questions over and over again, like, we mistreated the American Indians, us white people, and so how dare you try to shut down the influx of people coming in from other countries. You know, the whole white guilt thing they were throwing out there and whatnot. And it was really despicable, really despicable. These people were so anti-American. You know, we talk about immigrants not being assimilated into the American system of valuing freedom of speech and freedom of religion and all these things. Well, I think we have the colleges have so brainwashed these students,
right,
that some of these American students aren't even educated in what the American system is all about. They hate it. They hate, they're intolerant, they're anti-free speech, it's their way or the highway. If you don't agree with them, you don't have a right to speak to the public, and we're going to brand you a bigot.
You know, and they don't realize if they got their way that they couldn't live or talk in the country that they are. Well, we've ran out of time. I want to remind the folks real quick. Folks, you get the book, Stealth Invasion, Muslim Conquest Through Immigration and Resettlement Jihad. Go to WorldNet Daily and look it up. And Leo, it's a great book, and I appreciate you being on with me, brother. And I hope you write something
anytime,
about it.
Yeah, anytime. I enjoy sharing my thoughts with you, Pastor Dan, and God bless your ministry. You're doing a great job.
All right, thank you. God bless. We'll talk to you again. Bye-bye, brother.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, get the book, Stealth Invasion, not because I'm calling upon his book, but it is really an important book so you can see what's going on. Leo is a good researcher. Listen to what he says. I believe that that's what this is. For all intents and purposes, this is an attempted coup of the President of the United States of America. I will stick behind that. Make sure you tune in with me an hour from now, because I'm going to bring on with me Frank from the Frank Report, and we're going to talk about this, and we're going to hear what Frank's views on it. And believe me, he talks pretty freely. So anyway, folks, pray about supporting Wichita Ministry Church and pray about supporting Radio Airtime. We must remember, though, there is only one God. He is who? He's your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. And he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.